Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Bit of a shorter podcast today. We got the injury report for you, Wednesday and Thursday's practice report, and then we'll also talk about what was kind of a mini controversy in Pittsburgh on Thursday when the Steelers, they awarded Juju as their team MVP. That's awarded by the players themselves, but it did start somewhat of an uproar in Pittsburgh. We'll talk about that today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Instagram, Locked On Steelers. You can find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, hit the like button. Make sure you also join the Facebook group. I'm hoping to have a podcast both Friday, later in the day, and then also Saturday. Hoping to have two more podcasts this week. Going to try and get Christopher Carter on, and then one more guest on Saturday. We'll see if we can make that happen. So hopefully you'll get two more podcasts this week. I apologize for the crazy schedule here during the holidays. And let's start today with the practice report for both Wednesday and Thursday. Big news here, James Conner returns to practice from that ankle injury. Kept him out for the past 3 weeks. He's returned to practice on both Wednesday and Thursday in a full capacity. So he seems like he'll be good to go on Sunday. And that's going to be great news for this Steeler offense. He's been sorely missed the past 3 weeks, and he'll be, you know, he'll be heavily utilized, you have to imagine, in that offensive game plan. Not just Sunday, but if the Steelers were to sneak into the playoffs now, Connor's going to figure into that playoff run in a big way. So glad to see Connor back from that ankle injury. And this is not going to be the kind of case where they're going to rush him back in any way, right? Practicing on Wednesday and Thursday likely means he's good to go. They don't need to rush him back. I had thought they might keep him out this week, you know, trying not to rush him back, trying not to re-aggravate him. And then if you do sneak into the playoffs, then you get him back in there. But practicing on Wednesday and Thursday, that's really good. I think Connor should be good to go this Sunday. On the other hand, Sean Davis and Vince Williams both sat out of practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Sean Davis with a quad injury, Vince Williams with a toe. Now, Tomlin said this during his Tuesday press conference, that both these guys would likely be limited or miss some practice this week. But with both guys missing both Wednesday and Thursday, it's hard to imagine missing those 2 days and then coming back and playing in this football game. And so for Sean Davis, it'll likely be Morgan Burnett filling in for him at the free safety role, something we haven't seen all year. That's something we saw back in training camp when Sean Davis went down with injury back then, but really haven't seen it in the regular season. And it's been a big question mark for this team really going all the way back to training camp, is who would be the backup free safety, right? This is a team full of strong safeties without a lot of free safeties. Now, that's kind of been put to bed, as Sean Davis has had a, you know, perfectly adequate year in his first year as the starting free safety, but they don't have a ton of depth behind him. So I expect to see Morgan Burnett back there. Now, how will Morgan Burnett do in a free safety role? We shall see. You know, I think there's a lot of doubt about his ability athletically to play that role. We'll see on Sunday. He'll be challenged by guys like, we'll see if Tyler Boyd can play in this game. Tyler Boyd actually did a very good job filling in for A.J. Green while A.J. Green was down. But I think Tyler Boyd is actually hurt with a knee injury himself. So we'll see how Morgan Burnett does in that spot. I think it's been one of the reasons why this team has been so, I don't want to say they're so good in the secondary, but yeah, the reasons why they haven't had as much miscommunication in the secondary, they haven't had as many defensive breakdowns in the secondary this year, has been because they've had Sean Davis and Terrell Edmonds. You know, that stability at safety this year has really helped them. And so not having Sean Davis in this game, we'll see what happens on Sunday with Morgan Burnett inserted into the lineup. And then at linebacker, it's going to be LJ Ford in there. We've seen a lot of LJ Ford, especially in more passing down situations. So not going to be a huge change defensively to see LJ Ford in place of Vince Williams. Now, a bunch of other players were out of practice just because Tomlin's giving them the day off. Ben sat out on Wednesday. Pouncey sat out on Wednesday. And Antonio Brown sat out on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, Ben was back at practice, as was Pouncey. Foster was given the day off. But the interesting one is that Antonio Brown did not practice. And this according to the Steelers, it's a coach's decision, but also seems to be dealing with a knee injury. Now, Steeler players are all saying, look, they expect AB to go on Sunday. Not the kind of thing you want to hear, though, AB dealing with a knee injury this late in the year. This is a must-win game for the Steelers on Sunday, so I do expect that Antonio Brown will play through this injury, as we saw him play through that injury during the game against the Jaguars a year ago. What was a playoff game against the Jaguars a year ago? This one, maybe not a playoff game, but it's going to feel like a playoff game. And you saw Juju play through injury a week ago. You'll see AB play through this injury on Sunday. But you have to wonder if this is going to kind of linger. If the Steelers make the playoffs, what kind of injuries are they dealing with on that run, right? Is the Vince Williams injury, is that going to be a longer-term thing? Same thing for Sean Davis. But really, you know, the AB injury and a knee injury, you got to wonder about that one. But it sounds like Connor will play. Davis will not. Vince Williams probably doesn't play as well. And AB, he'll play, but he'll be dealing with some sort of knee injury. We had a bit of a mini controversy on Thursday as the Steelers named Juju Smith-Schuster their team MVP for the 2018 season. That's as voted on by the players. So the players themselves voting Juju their team MVP for the 2018 season. Now, Juju's had a great year. Year two, 100-plus catches, nearly 1,400 yards, and this is only through 15 games. So, you know, he'll likely eclipse 14, maybe even 1,500 yards this season. He's got 6 touchdowns. That's second on the team to AB, but every other statistic he leads. So he leads AB in receptions and in receiving yards. And this is in a, you know, quote unquote down year for AB. And yet, you know, AB's right there. I mean, AB's got 104 catches and 1,300 yards himself. And as I said, 15 touchdowns for Antonio Brown. But Juju's come up with big plays, especially in those big moments in these games. You know, I remember back to that game against Jacksonville, the 2 catches he had along the sideline when this offense could not get anything going. And the Steelers have been able to rely on Juju in those moments as a clutch player down the stretch, very similar to what they did with Antonio Brown a year ago. And Antonio Brown was voted on by the players in 2017 as the team MVP. So congratulations to Juju for that award. I think it is deserved. Now, it did cause a bit of a controversy, as I said, some of the writers in Pittsburgh, and this was really led by Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, but it was echoed in a lot of different places that, hey, you know, look, if you're going to have this MVP award and you're not going to award it to Ben, especially in 2018, what's the point of having the award, right? Ben Roethlisberger is setting his career marks in pretty much every statistic, right? Most completions, most attempts, most yards, most touchdowns of his career. I mean, the guy is having a career year in an offense where, look, they didn't have Le'Veon Bell for the year. They had to transition to James Conner at running back. It's a very pass-heavy league, and they went with one of the most pass-heavy attacks in a pass-heavy league with a quarterback where the MO has always been, look, if you're going to throw with Ben and you're going to throw more than, you know, 20, 30 times, you're going to lose a football game, and that hasn't been true as much in 2018 as it has been in the past. This offense, at least, has been very successful in those moments. And this offense is also going to put up the most points it's ever put up in Steeler history, right? And that's led by Ben Roethlisberger. So if you're not going to give it to Ben this year, then when are you going to give it to Ben? Now, you know, so I understand where that side of the argument is coming from, right? And Ben Roethlisberger is having a career best year because the Steelers are throwing more. He's being asked to do more, and being asked to do more, rightly so. As I said, you know, the Steelers didn't have Le'Veon Bell coming into the year. You know, the wear and tear got to Connor, especially late here, and the Steelers had to rely on Ben more. But even when Connor was healthy, you know, they were kind of using a short passing game in lieu of running the ball at times as well. And in those times, Ben was good as well. Now, so I get that side of the argument. I will say this, you know, this is just because this is Ben's best statistical season doesn't mean that this is Ben's best season, right? The play on the field, I wouldn't say, boy, you know, Ben's at the top of his game this late in his career. I don't think that's the case. I think, you know, some of the interceptions he's thrown, some of the times you look at him, you just go, are you seeing the field? What are you looking at? Right? I mean, we've had so much of that this year as well. And I think some of that does come from the fact of just usage, right? Ben Roethlisberger's always been the gunslinger. And so you're going to have these kind of crazy moments, you know, the Brett Favre kind of moments of what are you thinking? What are you looking at out there with Ben? And you've seen that as well in 2018. You've probably seen more of that because of usage. But the other argument here with the MVP award is, look, if you're going to have an MVP award and you're going to go by the definition of the award, the most valuable player, well, the most valuable player on the team is Ben Roethlisberger, and it's not close, right? The most valuable player on your football team is your future Hall of Fame quarterback. In a quarterback-driven league, Ben Roethlisberger is, without a doubt, the team MVP and has been the team MVP since he was drafted, right? This team went from 6-10 without Ben Roethlisberger, added Ben that year and went 15-1 that year. And by the way, Ben Roethlisberger didn't start the one game that they lost. So, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, Ben Roethlisberger is the MVP every year. But, you know, if you follow me back from my Steeler Country days, we do our awards every year. We have a rule. When we name MVP, we can't vote Ben, right? That's me, Mike, and Joe get together every year. We vote MVP. We vote Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and a bunch of other awards. We're going to do it again here on Locked On Steelers after the Super Bowl, probably that post-Super Bowl week. We'll get back on here and do those awards. And we're going to have the same rule again, right? You can't vote Ben for MVP because it's so obvious. It's, you know, Ben is always the MVP. He's the quarterback. The quarterback is the most valuable player. If you take Ben off the team, everything else falls apart. Is Juju have 1,300 yards this year, 1,400 yards this year? If Josh Dobbs is his quarterback? Of course not, right? Does AB have the year he's had? No, of course not. Does this team have the year that they had if Ben's not on the team? Of course not. Ben Roethlisberger is without a doubt the most valuable player on the team. So I get that argument. I just don't think it's fun, right? I mean, and you look at, and the Steelers kind of have that same mindset. The Steelers have only awarded Ben Roethlisberger team MVP one time in his entire career. 2009, that's it. This year, Juju. Last year, AB. The year before that, Le'Veon. And then it just kind of alternates back between Le'Veon and AB, and you throw Heath Miller in there, or Troy Polamalu in there. No Ben. Going all the way back to 2009, no Ben. You know, I get where they're coming from because, you know, you would just vote. It makes the award meaningless, but it kind of does, right? You're just going to vote Ben. If you're just going by the definition, every single year, regardless of his stats, regardless of how he played that year, he's the most valuable player because the team wouldn't have had so much success. The reason why this team has been thought of as a Super Bowl contender every single year, the reason why they're always in the hunt for the division, they're always in that playoff race, the reason why they're always there, this team doesn't have the kind of ebbs and flows, is because of Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he's been the settling force, if you want to call it, you know, that keeps this team always in contention, is having that Hall of Fame. It's part of the reason we're going to talk about Mike Tomlin and his future on the team. But, you know, having Ben Roethlisberger plays into the discussion about Mike Tomlin and his future. And a lot of people who want Tomlin to be let go is saying, hey, look, you're squandering Ben. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback. This team should be doing better with Ben Roethlisberger. It's because, you know, they're not saying, oh, you're doing so much and you have Antonio Brown, right? You have Ben. If you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you should be doing more with that team. And so that plays into that argument as well. I have no problem with people who feel like Ben should be MVP this year. Ben should be MVP every year. Now, you know, the idea that Ben should be MVP this year because of the statistics he's putting up there. Look, I don't think you have to be all, the numbers themselves are gaudy, but let's remember that he's being asked to do more this year and the actual play. So that's why the numbers are high, but the play on the field, if you're saying, look, you know, Ben's having his best year, so, you know, in his best year, he should at least be given the courtesy of MVP. I would argue 2018 is not even his best year. It's not his best year. He's had plenty of quality years in the past, and, you know, the Steelers probably have the same mentality that I do, and a lot of people do, which is, look, you just don't award Ben MVP because it's boring. It makes the award kind of meaningless. So, you know, Ben gets the asterisk next to MVP every year. Ben is the MVP, and then whoever they award it to kind of had the best season, let's say. And let's finish up today with comments that James Harrison made on the Undisputed show on Fox Sports 1. That's the Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharpe show. So you got to come on here with your hot takes. And James Harrison, boy, does he have some hot takes in his post-NFL career, you know, football pundit life, right? I mean, the guy has all of a sudden made a name for himself with his hot takes. And he especially has one here about Mike Tomlin. Look out, Mark Madden. James Harrison coming for your job. Here's what James Harrison had to say about, well, who's to blame for what's happened with the Steelers, especially in 2018?
I would have to give that to Mike Tomlin. And the reason I give it to him, because he's the head coach. He has to go out there and get this team ready. You've had instances where the defense plays well. You had instances where the offense plays well. And you know that they're capable of doing that. If you look at the defense that, you know, he's actually built, I mean, I think he has 6 or 7 first-rounders. He has a couple second-rounders through either draft or trade. So he's put together a defense that should be capable of going out there and stopping offenses. And I think at the end of it, the Achilles heel has been the defense not able to come through in the end. So, I have to put that on Mike Tomlin, even though he has, you know, won a significant amount of games. He's won Super Bowls. But if you even look at that and you go back, the Super Bowl that he did win was basically a Bill Cowher-based team. Right. the team that actually went in 2010 was still a majority of Cowher. And since then, I think he's reached the AFC Championship game one time. And over the course of the last 2 years, he's lost just the first first game to Jacksonville, where the defense gave up 40, 50-something points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this year they have a possibility of not making it. So all that has to go on, Coach Tom.
So James Harrison bringing back the old Tomlin can only win with Cowher's players argument. I haven't heard that one in a while. In fact, you really haven't heard that one since the old since the back-to-back 8-8 years back in, what was it, 2012, 2013. The Steelers have been to the playoffs the last 4 years since then, and really that argument has kind of gone away, right, because this team has been more successful. That argument got made, you know, when the 2008 team was retiring, they were going through that transition from that 2008 defense into the, you know, the kind of modern Killer B era, or I guess, well, is that the Killer B era anymore? What are we calling it now, the post-Killer B era? Whatever this modern team is. But they were going through that transition, right, between the 2008 team and that defense and then what is now kind of the Killer B era of more, you know, a more offensively oriented team. But there were those couple 8-8 years where you heard a lot of people, a lot of vocal fans and even members of the media saying, ah, you know, Tomlin, he can only win with Cowher's players. He's having a hard time building his own roster. Now, that argument has kind of been replaced, right? The reason you don't hear that anymore is because the, you know, the pendulum kind of swung the other way and the argument is actually the exact opposite of that now. Which is that Tomlin is squandering quality talent, right? That this team has had so much talent for so many years, specifically in those Killer B years, that, you know, they shouldn't have lost to the Jaguars. They shouldn't have lost to the Patriots in the championship game. They shouldn't have lost to the Broncos. They shouldn't have lost to the Ravens in the playoffs, right? This team has kind of underachieved throughout Tomlin's career lately, especially, you know, you look at this year, right? And they shouldn't have lost to the Raiders. They shouldn't have lost to the Broncos. They shouldn't have lost. They shouldn't have tied to the Browns. That's kind of been the modern argument for Tomlin. So, I mean, the Cowher thing. I mean, Harrison in there, I guess, isn't necessarily saying that, you know, he can only win with Cowher's players. It's more about, you know, Cowher built this defense and Tomlin has been unsuccessful in building his own defense, right? And in that way, I think it's kind of a fair criticism. I think that is a legitimate criticism of Tomlin, although I think it goes to more than just Mike Tomlin, right? Because, you know, Harrison says there that it's all about, you know, look, he's got so much talent in the first round. If you have that much talent in the first round, you should, defensive talent in the first round, you should have a quality defense by now. And I think, you know, it would be one thing if this team had players who you felt like were all pro style players defensively, but they still couldn't get the job done. Instead, you know, I think that the real problem here has been the opposite of that, which is that, yes, they have all this first round talent, but it's not first-round talent, right? This is a misevaluation of talent over and over and over again. And for a team that builds through the draft, that's kind of the cardinal sin, right? You can't do that and then have a successful team. Now, you know, on the offensive side, look, whatever the Steelers have touched has turned to gold. But on the defensive side, it's been quite the opposite. And they've had so many misses. I think that's the problem for this team right now is they just can't afford to have the miss after miss after miss that they had. And that stuff comes back to bite you, right? I mean, you know, guys like Jarvis Jones, he should be in the prime of his career right now. Instead, he's out of the league, right? Bud Dupree, he should be, you know, going right into the prime. He should be on the upswing right now. And instead, you know, he's a serviceable guy at the edge rush position. But, you know, what has he got? 5.5 sacks? And that's his career best is right around there. You know, again, Artie Burns. Artie Burns, who is another guy who should be emerging now as a quality starter at the corner position. Instead, the question for Artie Burns is, where does he even belong on the roster in 2019? Is he on the roster in 2019? Even like the modern, you know, quote-unquote success stories, Javon Hargrave. I mean, Javon Hargrave has been good, but, you know, Javon Hargrave is not a real impact player in this defense. Sean Davis. Sean Davis is a, you know, he kind of refound his career at free safety. He's fine. He's been fine in 2018. But, you know, if you go into 2019 and you find a better player than Sean Davis, you're absolutely taking him, right? I mean, there's no reason for this team to pass on a quality free safety because they already have Sean Davis. You know, I mean, not to say that this team hasn't drafted some defensive talent. I think Stephon Tuitt, Cam Hayward, I'm excited about TJ Watt and his future. He looks like a solid player. Even Terrell Edmonds. I think, you know, Terrell Edmonds hasn't been as bad as initially thought. I didn't like the pick when they initially took him, but I think, you know, what he's proven in 2018 is that, you know, his floor is a little higher than we expected. We'll see about his ceiling, and I'm going to give him some years to prove that, obviously. But no, I think the criticism about this team defensively is absolutely right. It's absolutely right. And this team, regardless of if it makes the playoffs, they have to take a look in the mirror and figure out what has been going wrong for so many picks now. Because this team cannot afford to continue making mistake after mistake defensively. It's why this team has struggled so often at building a defense, is because they continue to miss. They can't keep missing like this. And not just first round picks, but even later picks. Guys like Senquez Golson, right, who just, you know, injury prone his entire career. Got, you know, keeping Cortez Allen over Keenan Lewis. Those are decisions that come back even now, right? Even in 2018, you know, this team had a quality starter in Keenan Lewis. And I know he got hurt in New Orleans, and, you know, he could have got hurt in Pittsburgh as well. But regardless, right, you kept the wrong player in Cortez Allen. Keenan Lewis was the better player between Keenan Lewis and Cortez Allen. And they kept Cortez Allen. Cortez Allen was out of the league a year later, and Keenan Lewis had a successful year in New Orleans, although he had some injury problems of his own. I mean, these are the kind of problems that these are the kind of missteps that the Steelers have had time and time again in trying to rebuild this defense. And, you know, and it's not just personnel wise. I do think there's a schematic problem with the way this team is running defensively. And look, there's so many rumors about who really runs the defense. Is this Keith Butler's defense, or is Keith Butler kind of the figurehead at defense, and it's really Mike Tomlin's show? And you've heard that so often. Regardless of whether it's Butler's defense or it's Tomlin's defense, it's time for it to change. It's time for either Tomlin to give the reins to someone else and not Keith Butler. Keith Butler's got to go, but you got to bring in someone, a fresh face. No one, you know, you're not hiring from within when it comes to who the next defensive coordinator is going to be for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's got to be someone else from outside the organization. They need a fresh new look defensively. You can't go into a game like the Chargers game where they only have one legitimate target in that game, and that's going to be Keenan Allen, and you can't stop him, right? You're helpless to stop Keenan Allen, and it's because of this mentality that this team goes into these football games with, we're going to do what we do type of thing. That stuff's got to stop going forward, and then this team does need to take a look in the mirror, regardless of if they make the playoffs or not, regardless if they go on a run or not. Defensively, they're not where they should be, and James Harrison does have a point there. Now, you know, the second part of this argument, which, again, if the Steelers miss the playoffs, we're going to have a lot of time in January to talk about. We're going to have a free month of January. So we'll talk a lot about it. I know that the kind of the next argument here is should we fire Tomlin, which I think is kind of a silly argument at this point. But we'll have it anyway, because we're, again, like I said, if they miss the playoffs, we're going to have a ton of time to talk in January as well. So we'll talk about that as well. But, you know, I think James Harrison has some legitimate points there, specifically this defense and this team's misevaluations. Now, it's not just a Tomlin thing. This is an organization-wide problem. This is the scouts. This is Kevin Colbert. This is the entire organization and what they're looking for in defensive talent. They've got to fix it, because it has been a problem. It has been a problem for many, many years now. It's got to be a priority in the 2019 offseason. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.